If you have a Bible now, it would be a good time to turn back to Mark chapter 4, and particularly the end of that chapter. And as we turn back to that chapter, I have a question for you this morning. My question is this: what do you do when you can't sleep? What do you do when you can't sleep? You can picture the scene. You wake up and you look at your alarm clock and it's 1:30 in the morning. You don't want to be awake at 1:30 in the morning. And you try to get to sleep, but half an hour later you're still awake and it's 2 o'clock, in case you can't tell the time. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and you can't sleep. What do you do? Do you find your mind starting to worry about how you're going to get to sleep again? Seems slightly counterproductive. Or do you start doing that mental maths of working out how much sleep you're going to get in total if you manage to fall asleep by a certain point within the next hour or two? Or do you find yourself reviewing the previous day and trying to work out whether there's anything that might be keeping you awake? Or looking ahead to the day to come and trying to work out what level of performance deficit will appear because of your lack of sleep on this particular occasion? Or maybe you just get up and make yourself a warm mug of milk and read a novel for a bit or something like that. What do you do when you can't sleep? I imagine that's a question that all of us have experience of, and maybe particularly at the moment with the challenging situation we're in. So I thought it'd be good today to get some sleep lessons from Jesus. He seems to be quite good at sleeping from this passage. And I'm hoping that as we look at this passage, we'll see some encouraging truths for those times when we can't sleep. When we struggle to get to sleep at night, or when we wake up in the middle of the night. Whatever reasons we can't sleep, things within our control, things outside of our control. I hope we'll be encouraged as we look at Jesus this morning. Let's start by setting the scene. Jesus has had a long day of teaching large crowds of people. They didn't have to social distance in those days. Huge crowds of people he's teaching for hours and hours and hours. And then he tells his disciples, let's go across to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. Now, this Sea of Galilee is a place where, because of the geography, that storms can very quickly appear without much warning. But the disciples knew all of that kind of thing, because at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, Jesus calls some of his disciples, and what do they do for a living? They're fishermen. They're used to being on water. They're used to being in boats. And they knew that the evening time was a time where there wouldn't normally be so many storms. And they knew what to do if storms happened anyway. But this storm took them by surprise. This huge windstorm that comes. And as they're trying to work out how to respond to it, these waves are breaking into the boat and crashing into the boat, and the boat is filling up with water. They're panicking, trying to work out what they're going to do. And as they're panicking, they start to wonder where Jesus is. Because Jesus is maybe the sort of person who may be able to help out in some way. And they go to Jesus and they find he's asleep. He's sleeping on a cushion in the middle of this great windstorm. And they wake him up and say to him, don't you care that we're perishing? We'll leave the story there for now. The question that the disciples are asking, in a sense, is, why are you sleeping? In this situation, why are you sleeping and staying asleep? But maybe for our purposes this morning, we can ask a slightly different question. Not so much why, but how. How is it that Jesus was able to sleep in this big windstorm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee with the waves crashing around? How was he able to sleep in the middle of the storm? And I think this passage points us to two answers. How was Jesus able to sleep? The first answer. That he felt really, really tired. You weren't expecting such profound insights this morning, I can tell. But it is actually a profound insight, isn't it? That this Jesus is God the Son, the one through whom and for whom all things were created. The one who came into this world, took to himself human nature, the Word became flesh, God became a man, and the Creator is asleep on a boat in a storm. It reminds us that this Jesus, the eternal Word of God, the eternal Son, came to this world and experienced human life as we experience it. That he got hungry and thirsty. The shortest verse in our English Bibles is a verse that says, Jesus wept. And here we see also that Jesus slept. I'll leave you to write your own rhyming song later. But here we see Jesus experiencing the full range of what we experience. And notice that the disciples here aren't surprised that he's sleeping. They're surprised that he's sleeping at this point, but they're not surprised at him sleeping. They're not saying, wait a minute, Jesus, you're asleep. You've never slept before. We thought you were a superhuman who never slept. No, they knew that he slept, because that's what people do. And after a day of intense teaching, a day of intense teaching is tiring work. And he's very tired. And so, like we experience, he slept. God the Son, he became a man, and who was hungry, thirsty, who wept, and who slept. This passage is a wonderful passage. Just those few words that point us to the humanity of Jesus. That this Jesus is fully God, and also fully man. Fully man. It reminds us that when we think about the struggles of life in this world, including the struggles of sleeplessness and restless nights and struggling to fall asleep at night, that we have someone in heaven who understands the struggles of life in this world, because he's lived it. He's experienced the kinds of things that we experience, the pressures and the questions and the temptations. There's good news in this passage that will be important as we journey through thinking a bit more about this question. This sleep that points us to the fact that Jesus got tired because he was fully man. And before we go on to the second reason why Jesus was sleeping, maybe we could pause and I could ask, maybe some of us at the moment feel like God is a long way away, at a distance from us. Maybe you're a Christian who has messed up in some way in the last week, as we all have, but there's something that you find it hard to move on from. And so you find it hard to think that God is anywhere near you at the moment. Or maybe just with the situation that's around us at the moment, everything's so overwhelming and you're not sure where God is in it, and God feels very far away, far at a distance from us. Or maybe you're not a Christian and you're just joining the service because you're still asking questions. And maybe one of the reasons that you haven't taken some steps towards Jesus is because it feels like he's so far away, and what's the point? Are you someone who feels that God is far away at a distance from you today? We're here on the boat. We see how God came near to us in Jesus Christ. Not staying at a distance, not even coming fairly close, but still keeping quite a bit of a gap between him. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, actually living in this world, coming near to us. God coming close to us so that we can be close to God forever. And if you think about how we've all lived, you'd expect that God would want to keep us at a distance. If you think about it, this is the perfect holy God. We say, holy, 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 perfectly holy, perfectly pure, perfectly perfect. And we're quite a bit away from perfect. None of us are perfect. We've all messed up in so many different ways. And we're guilty of offending God and not honouring him as we should do, not giving him thanks as we should do for everything he gives to us. We're guilty of what the Bible calls sin. That sin that means that we would expect that God would keep us at a distance now and forever. What we see in Jesus is God coming near to us so that we could be near to him. It's Jesus who lived a perfect life, the life that we failed to live, and then died on the cross, dying in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve for our sin. But those who trust him can be forgiven. And he rose again from the dead and went into heaven, where he's seated at the right hand of his Father. And as we trust him, so too we're lifted up into the presence of God, to know that close relationship with God, knowing our Father in heaven as our Father in heaven. And today, if you're feeling that God is far away from you, at a distance from you, which is a feeling we find in the Bible, look at Jesus here in the boat. God, come close to us, the Word become flesh. Then imagine looking up to heaven and seeing Jesus there, the one who lifts us right up into the presence of God to enjoy a close relationship with him now and forever. The good news of seeing Jesus today. And if you are feeling that God is far away from you and maybe you've still got lots of questions, then I'd love to chat to you. Contact details at the end of the video if you're watching online, or I'm here if you're here in the building. We'll move on, but just that amazing truth that Jesus, God the Son, came near to us and got tired and slept. At this point, we might want to jump to the display of divine power in this passage and how this same Jesus is also fully God. But before we get there, actually, I think as we think about this man, Jesus, there's an important contrast between him and the disciples in this passage. That Jesus slept, not just because he felt really, really tired, but because he felt really, really safe. Really safe. I'll explain what I mean by that word. Let's go back to the story. Go back to the point where the disciples woke him up. And he woke up. And he rebuked the wind and told the sea to stop storming. And the wind stopped. And the sea stopped. This display of divine power that caused the disciples to realize that there was something special about this person. Who is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Then, having done that, he asks them a question. Or two questions, they're rhetorical questions. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And that word still is an interesting one, isn't it? Have you still no faith? Even after everything that's happened, even after the teaching that he's given earlier in the day, in the first part of Mark chapter 4. We had a number of parables in Mark chapter 4. And three of them have something in common. I wonder if you spotted it as I was reading it. But three of them involve seeds. Have these seeds being sown. You have the farmer who scatters seed, and the mustard seed, which is such a small seed. And these seeds, you think about a seed, it's something that in itself is quite vulnerable, quite fragile. It's quite easy to kind of destroy it. Or if you put it in the wrong place, it's not going to lead to anything like a plant or a tree. And yet, in the right soil, in the right conditions, this seed will grow and keep growing and will flourish. And Jesus teaches these parables to say that the kingdom of God is a bit like that. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, those people who know Jesus as king and enjoy life in his kingdom. Well, that kingdom can seem very vulnerable, And it can seem that not much is happening, that it's not having the impact that you'd expect it to have, that it's a time of waiting and wondering what's happening. It can seem very small and vulnerable, and yet it will grow. Guaranteed. The end result of all of the parables is this huge growth, 60-fold, 100-fold, growing into large branches. The kingdom of God may seem small and vulnerable, but it will grow, guaranteed. And so what all of that means is that there's one thing that definitely could not happen to the boat at the end of Mark chapter 4. There's one thing that definitely could not happen to the boat at the end of Mark chapter 4. It couldn't sink without trace. That couldn't happen. Because here in the boat was the king who'd come announcing the kingdom, and those that he'd called to himself to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And if the boat went down, then so would the kingdom of God. And that can't happen. And the disciples, you can understand them being a bit nervous about a big storm. It's a scary situation. But if they'd really understood, and if we really understood, just see that if they were with the king, they were safe. Safe in the kingdom. The boat wasn't going to sink without trace. And in contrast with the panic of the disciples, then you look at Jesus. He's asleep. And he's sleeping like the other person in Mark chapter 4 who's sleeping. You may have noticed in verse 27 that the farmer there sleeps. He sows the seed, and even though he doesn't see immediate growth and has to wait to see what's going to happen, he doesn't panic, but sleeps and gets up and sleeps and gets up. But here in Jesus, we see that he's able to sleep. As a man, he has this perfect confidence in his Father in heaven. He has this perfect confidence in the work that he's been given to do as a Son of God and the Son of Man. He has this perfect confidence in heaven's plans, that certain growth of the kingdom of God throughout history and into eternity. So he doesn't just remind me of the farmer in Mark 4. He reminds me of King David in the Old Testament, a king that Jesus is descended from. And King David was a very important king, and God spoke promises to King David that we then find being answered in Jesus. And at the beginning of the book of Psalms, there are two psalms written by David that talk about sleep. David speaking as God's chosen king. One of them in Psalm 3, David, in the face of all of his difficulties, says, "I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." And at the end of Psalm 4, King David says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." And here in Mark 4, I think we find King Jesus making those words his own. Lying down and sleeping, knowing that he dwells in safety. That perfect confidence in his Father in heaven, that perfect confidence in the work he's been given to do, that perfect confidence in heaven's plans. And his longing that the disciples would come to share in that confidence. Not as a guarantee of sleep, life is more complicated than that. But a confidence that makes sleep possible even in both literal and metaphorical storms. The disciples understood something. They saw that this was someone who could command the wind and the sea. But there's more for them to learn. There's Jesus who slept because he felt really, really tired. And also he felt really, really safe, in contrast with the panic of the disciples. As we think about what this all means for us, I wonder, do you ever feel like the disciples at bedtime? I mean that you look at this passage and you see Jesus sleeping on a cushion and you think, well, wouldn't it be great if tonight I went to bed and put my head on the pillow and immediately I went to sleep and slept soundly throughout everything that happened in the night. And maybe you imagine Jesus coming and tucking you up in bed at night and you sleeping soundly through the night. But instead, do you ever have nights where your thoughts are swirling around in your mind like a storm of worry and fear and anxiety and concern, and revisiting what's happened in the previous day and all of the things you wish you'd done that you hadn't done, or the things that you did that you wish you hadn't done, or looking ahead to the day that hasn't happened yet and worrying about the things that you don't even know whether they're going to happen or not, and maybe wondering where God is in it all? If God is with me, where is he? Do you ever have nights where that's what your mind looks like when you put your head on the pillow? Well, here today, Jesus is inviting us to trust him with all of the stuff that's in our minds, all of that storm of thoughts that we can face when we put our head on the pillow. Jesus is inviting us to trust him and to know his Father as our Father, the one who is committed to us, who cares for us, who will keep us safe. To trust him and to see the one who even the wind and the sea obey, the one that has this power and authority. And he's inviting us to trust him and see that we're safe in heaven's plans. If we're in the boat of heaven's plans, that boat will not sink. Then our lives, in the life of the church, our gracious God will continue to work all things together for good, as Paul tells us in Romans 8. Whatever things look like, he will continue to work all things together for good until we're safely at the shore of heaven and with our Lord forever. Bible invites us today to make the words of Psalm 4 our own words. But at the end of the day, to say to God, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. To hand over our fears and thoughts and concerns and anxieties to a God who cares for us and is committed to us and is with us. Not as a kind of a magic mantra, like if you say those words you get guaranteed sleep. I'm not promising that. That's not a miracle cure. Life is more complicated. But here today we get this invitation to trust Jesus during the day, to trust him when we put our heads onto the pillow at night, and as we trust him, to find a better response to those swirling thoughts in our minds. But we could go on to ask, before we finish, what about when we're awake in the middle of the night? And there are lots of things that can wake us up in the middle of the night that may be completely outside of our control. Things like small children, physical aches and pains, medication that has certain side effects, depression, saxophone players next door. Lots of things that can wake us up in the middle of the night. And the middle of the night is a very lonely time, isn't it? When you're awake, when you want to be asleep. Even if there are other people around. I think back to my time when I spent a month in hospital, and as some of you know, it's very hard to sleep in hospital in the night. And there are other people in the ward, and some of them are awake, and there are nurses coming in and going out and doing things, and there's lots of noise and there's things happening. Still feels very lonely in the middle of the night, doesn't it? But here today we can remember that the Jesus who is with his disciples in the boat is with us in the middle of the night. He remains our beacon in the storm, our song in the night. Even if the darkness seems to hide him, even if it seems like he's asleep and not interested and not looking out for us, yet he is with us and he'll remain with us. And he'll stick with us, whatever's going on, whatever storms we face. That this Jesus is with us as the one who understands human life. He understands our humanity and the things that we struggle with. He's the one who, the Bible says, sympathises with us in our weakness. We could add, sympathises with us in our sleeplessness as well. He's there as someone who understands. And when we come to him, if we cry out to him in the night and speak to him about what's going on and how we're struggling to sleep, he's not going to tell us to go away and stop bothering him. You notice in Mark 4, he doesn't say that to the disciples. If you wake me up from a deep sleep, I may tell you to go away and stop bothering me, but Jesus doesn't. He helps them. So too with us, he won't say, go away, handle this yourself and talk to me in the morning. He's ready to listen. And he's ready to listen not just as the one who understands our humanity, but the one who can genuinely help us, because he remains the one who even the wind and the sea obey. And the one who uses that great power and authority for our good in that eternal plan of his kingdom. I think about all of those times where I've been awake in the middle of the night. I felt very alone and exhausted and depressed. And I've neglected to do the one most important thing, looking to Jesus, who's with us. Looking to Jesus, the one who soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. What do you do when you can't sleep, was my starter question. I haven't given you a complete answer, because, as I say for the third time today, life is more complicated. It may be that some of us need to see our GP about sleep issues that we're having. That's part of God's kindness to us, working through medical professionals. It may be that some of us need to make changes to our sleep routine. Maybe we need to stop drinking coffee so late at night or put up different curtains. There are lots of those kind of questions. But all of us, whoever we are today, there's one thing that we can all do. We can all look to Jesus. When we put our head on the pillow at night, to look to Jesus, to remember he is with us. And if we awake in the middle of the night for whatever reason, and however we feel, to remember this invitation to trust in the God who will keep us through all the storms of life. That we've learned more and more to lie down in peace, knowing that he makes us dwell in safety. Let's pray.